The story of Jesus has been told in so many ways since his birth, but we never seem to tire of his familiar scenes. We love hearing about the men and women who touched his life and whose lives he changed when he came. Even today, each familiar word moves a place in our hearts like nothing else can. Rest of her life, Mary would hear Bethlehem, and it would bring back memories of that incredible night. If someone mentioned Bethlehem, the shepherds relived angel hosts, flocks left behind in a midnight search. Say Bethlehem, and for anyone who's been there, especially on a journey of the heart, the name holds a special meaning. In all the songs we save for the week surrounding Christmas, there is so much more than a simply retelling of the unlikely events of Jesus' birth. Every carol reminds us that although the world found hard to imagine, the Savior, the Messiah, Christ the Lord, came just as the Father had promised He would.
Come in, and Lord of glory. Man, that's great singing this morning. And we're blessed. Blessed to be able to have this church and to have this good singing. You know, a lot of times people go off and pay good money and don't get what we got here. Y'all know that? We're very blessed. If you got your Bible, I want to read just a couple of places out of the book of Isaiah. Just prophetic scripture. These are verses that are prophecy, and they speak of Jesus and the birth of Christ. Then I want to just share with you the thing that God has laid on my heart. And, you know, all I can do is try to follow the Lord. Sometimes, and I've said this before, God will give me a thought, and I'll do my best to change God's mind. But all I really can do is obey Him. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But I want to read in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, and then Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6 and 7. And these are verses of prophecy that point forward to a time. It says in the 7th chapter of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Emmanuel means God with us. Then in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, the scripture says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." It says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, if you go over to the book of Matthew, there's a place there where there were three kings that came searching for the birth and the baby Jesus. They said, "We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And as they were coming, Herod met them, inquiring of them of who they were and what was their mission. And they searched the scripture, and they found it written in the book of Micah that he would be born in Bethlehem. You see, everything about the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, it was written prophetically in the scripture, in the Old Testament, pointing toward the new. And even Herod, who did not believe or want to receive, he told them, "Go to Bethlehem." And he said, "When you get down to Bethlehem, I want you to come back and tell me what you find so I can go worship him too." But in reality, he did not want to go and worship. He wanted to make sure that there was not another king arising that would take his place, that would take the kingdom from him. You see, he even knew, and this is sometimes the way it is with people, they know that there is enough evidence in the Word of God that they point to it. Herod did. He said, "Go to Bethlehem. It's written in the book of Micah that he's going to be in Bethlehem." Well, they went and found him, and being warned of God in a dream, those three kings left and they went a different way. Now, they came and they brought gifts, and they brought gold, and they brought frankincense, and they brought myrrh. You know, and part of the story also is there were shepherds in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of God shone round about them, and they were afraid. But the angel spoke and said, "Fear not, I bring you tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen. And you know, as we stand here this morning, and we had such a beautiful decorated church, and I want you to know I really appreciate the decoration. They're beautiful. I look over on this side and I see the tree, and you know, we've got the bicycle up here, and we've got enough presents right over here in this room that we could fill the altar on both sides. And you know, the children, they come, and I wanted this bicycle in here so you could see it. And I had my little grandson a little bit ago, and he's pointing and reaching. You know, he loves to tear the Christmas tree down. And I'm kind of, being a grandpa, I just let him. But they see the lights, and they see the beauty, and They see the presents, and they cannot wait to get into them. I love to see kids get to the age that they open all of theirs, then they open yours. That's what's fun. I just say, get it. And I love to see them. You know how they make their list. And they hand you their list of things they want. But you know, I asked you a couple of weeks ago, if you could get anything that you wanted for Christmas from Jesus, what would you ask for? And this morning, for just a few minutes, I want to try to preach and share with you on this subject, my Jesus Christmas list. You know, when I begin to think about it, and I do believe that this day is commemorative to celebrate the birth of Christ, and we know that He had to come and be born to live and accomplish all that He did for us. And we know that now He's on the right hand of the Father and making intercession for us. We believe that based on the Word of God. We also believe that He's prepared a place for us in heaven, and He will come again for us. Now, He may not come for us all together in my lifetime, although I've said that I believe based on the signs He could any day. But one thing's for certain, He's going to come for me, and He's going to come for you, and He might come for all of us. But if you could ask the Lord for anything, if you could say, Jesus, this is what I want for Christmas. I just had a few things that came to my mind. You know, and for me, when I really think about what's most important, it's not things that you can buy. It's not things that you can hold in your hand. It's like, well, I want a new truck. Well, you'd want another one next year. And if you've been around long enough, you know that. Well, I want a new house. Well, you may not like the electric bill. You may not like the taxes. You may not like the steps when you get old and your washer and dryer's downstairs and your bedroom and your kitchen's upstairs. I mean, there's always something. You're not going to like keeping it up. You're not going to like raking the leaves. But what do you really want for Christmas from Jesus? And I thought about these things. You know, one thing that I'd really want for Christmas is to know that all of my loved ones were saved. All of them. I mean, I'd like to know on Christmas Day that every person that I know has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That'd probably be my number one request. Then, you know, I begin to look around and I see there's so much going on in the world. Now, I was talking to a guy this week about how many people just in Paulding County, if we could get to them and find a way to help them and them believe us, we couldn't build churches big enough to put them in. Okay? Not just this one, but we couldn't find one big enough. Because there are so many people that have needs. There are people who need today to know that there is hope. Amen. Then I thought about this. You know, all the things that are going on, all the trouble, we hear it every day. It seems like there's another police officer shot, not just in our country, but in our state. And we see all the trouble that's around the world and all the turmoil and all the hate, which basically is a fulfilling of the scripture that talks about in the last days, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So I think I would wish for peace for all men. You know, then I begin to think about, you know, in this body. You know, the truth is, we're living in a body that, according to what the Word of God teaches us, is accursed. It's dying. And it seems like right now, I begin to sit here on the bench and think, we have five ladies right now that are not able to be with us in church this morning because they've either had an operation or a surgery or a broken bone. And those are just the ones that came to my heart and mind. And then we have others that are going to have to go and deal with some things today that are very difficult. You know, it seems like, I don't know, it just seems to me like a lot of times at Christmas, there's always something that's troubling to deal with. You know, and if you've been through something that's troubling, it just brings it right back to your memory. You know, what I would ask for is healing for all my diseases. How many times have we come together and we've prayed, and we've prayed over somebody? We've set them in a chair right here, and we've asked God for His mercy, for His hand to touch them, for Him to heal them, for Him to work in their lives. And I'll tell you, a lot of times God's done that, amen? He's miraculously done it, but we're selfish, aren't we? If I could pray every prayer I prayed, it'd be answered, then nobody, here's just the truth, nobody would ever die. Because every problem we had, every time our chest hurt, every time our knee hurt, every time our back hurt, we'd pray for God's healing. That's on our Jesus Christmas list. We'd never have a pain. And then I thought about this one. Number five on my list, my last one, is to see all my loved ones again. You know, one thing about Christmas, when we get together, and this is something that, you know, being my wife and I've been married for, this will be our 28th Christmas together, married. Our Christmas list has changed. When we first got married, there were people who were on our Christmas list that are not on our Christmas list today. In fact, I could tell you that the list is probably, even though we've got grandchildren, we've had family members join our family, it's the smallest Christmas list we've ever had. Because we've got grandmothers on both sides have all gone to be with the Lord. Grandfathers on both sides have all gone to be with the Lord. Dads have gone to be with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, cousins, and folks, multiple friends. Yeah, I can remember when my dad's mother passed away. I was there when she passed away, but I remember the first Christmas because she passed away and we were at a funeral home at Christmas time that year. And I can remember the next year, or even that year, it was because we had the service and went immediately to have Christmas as a family. My dad put out a little box, and it was a candle. And every year he had light that candle in memory of his mother. You know, on my Jesus Christmas list, what I would want is to be able to go in just that day. Everybody be there. Be able to talk to them. You ever think about them and just, you ever dream about your family members? I do. You're with them and it's just like they're right there in front of you and you're able to put your arms around them and talk to them. Now, folks, that's my Jesus Christmas list. But here's what I want to tell you, and this is why this is on my heart. When I begin to think about this, when I thought about what I would want for Christmas from Jesus, and then I begin to think about Jesus Christ and His birth and His walking on this earth, living a sinless life, paying the price for my sin, ascending into heaven, making intercession for you and I, creating a place for us that we could go and be with Him, and then He's going to come back according to the Scripture, just as He said. I begin to think about something. Everything on my Christmas list is possible. Everything. Because Jesus Christ made it possible that everything on my list could come to pass. And I want to talk about those for just a few minutes. I'm not going to be long this morning. But you know, the first thing that I desire on my Christmas list is that all the world would be saved. Well, let me tell you what Jesus Christ did. Through the birth of this Savior, prophetically told down through the ages, multiple prophets wrote about Him, fulfilling the will of God, He came so that all the world could be saved. You see, the Scripture says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, this gives us mercy. It gives us forgiveness, but it requires a Savior. You see, the Scripture said that Jesus would be born of a virgin. You know, I'm one who believes. You got to believe that. You see, if God created us from nothing, He certainly can touch a young Jewish girl that she would be the birth of a Savior. Well, if you don't believe that God created us, you're probably not going to believe in the virgin birth. But if you don't believe that God created you, you go down to point number two, where do you get your hope? Truth is, you don't have any. You see, because God made it possible that all the world could be saved. He made it possible that all of my loved ones, all of your loved ones can. But here's something God did. He gave us the volition of will. You don't have to come. You don't have to accept Christ, but if you will, you can be saved.
Yes.
Scripture says in Acts 2:21 that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then in John 1:12, the Scripture says, and I like this verse, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So when I begin to think about my number one desire and what I would want, this is the miraculous thing about Christ's birth. He made it possible that all the world could be saved. Then I begin to think about hope. You know, there are many today that are hopeless. Sometimes when you begin to talk about the Lord, people want to sneer. They want to mock until they're in need. You sneer and you mock until you're at the point that you're about to take your last breath, and then you're hoping that everything you've lived your life for, which really is meaningless, turns out to be correct. In other words, it's like this. I went through life with no purpose. I have no one that I bow to. I have no one that I call to. When I die, I'm just dead. I'm just like a dog. And I hope it's that way. Because you have no hope without Christ. See, but Jesus Christ came to give us hope. I love the scene in that movie, God's Not Dead. You know, we're living in a society today that's so liberal, they want to mock Christianity and Christians. And you had the news reporter girl, which is supposed to represent everybody of our time, but I guess they figured out that everybody's not like that, amen?
Amen.
And she's mocking them, and she's mocking the people of Duck Dynasty, and she goes in to where the newsboys are saying, and she's got this microphone, and she sticks it in front of them, and she had just come from a doctor that told her she had terminal cancer. And she said, do you really get your hope from a man called Jesus? And they just smiled and said, yeah. And then they looked at her and they said, well, Amy, where do you get your hope? Now, I want to ask you something. If you don't know Jesus, where do you get your hope? I get mine from the Lord. I have nothing in me that enables me to stand. I have nothing in me that gives me power other than the fact that I know Christ. And when I'm weak, I turn to Him. And as Paul said, then I'm strong. See, Jesus made it possible that all the world could have hope. Psalms 31:24 says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Lamentations 3:24 said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. In Titus 3:7, it says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The hope that we have lies in Jesus. You know, we heard the song, Mary, Did You Know? And I thought about this. Mary, did you know that all the world would be able to find hope in this little child? You see, there's a verse over in Thessalonians, and I like this verse, and it gives me hope. He said, I would that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. But we do have hope. Then the third would be peace for all men. You remember in Luke chapter 2, it calls it out in the 8th to the 14th verse. The angel appeared, and in the 14th verse, the proclamation was glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. You know, we're living in a world today that's torn apart by sin. It's torn apart by anger and dissension, and you could call it difference of opinion, but if we all were to come together in the way that the Lord would have us to, there could be peace. But one thing that Jesus does give us is He's creating for us a place where there will be perfect peace. One verse in the 14th chapter of John, He says this. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I've heard multiple people say this, and I believe that it's true. It really doesn't matter what you have materially if you don't have peace. I've talked to people that were in trouble, and they're you know, it's one thing, and you know when you're doing this, you're fighting against God. You're just resisting. You know, all you really have to do is bow and be obedient. Fighting against God. But when the peace comes, they say there's nothing more important than that. I'll tell you, for me, there's nothing more important than that. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Amen.
Then what about healing for all my diseases? I want to read just a couple of verses out of Psalms 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all my diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, and who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You say, well, God hasn't healed all of my diseases. Sometimes we could argue that God maybe hasn't done everything that we want Him to do. But has He? You see, because the truth is, and we've already said this, if we could pray every prayer and it be exactly the way we wanted it, nobody would ever leave. Nobody would ever go to heaven. But when a person leaves this life and they go into the presence of the Lord, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
And Paul said his desire was to be there. Having seen what God allowed him to see, he had a greater desire to go on and be with the Lord. He said, yet it wasn't expedient for me. He had to stay. But when a person dies and they leave this walks of life, for a Christian, that's ultimate healing. If you read in Revelation chapter 21, the scripture says that in heaven, He's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There won't be any more disease. There won't be any more trouble. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more sorrow. There won't be any more bones being set and artificial hips and knees being replaced. There won't be any eyes to where a person would go to the doctor. And I know this happens every day. And they said, we're not sure we're going to be able to save it. We're not sure we're going to be able to help you. You see, through Jesus coming and doing what He did for us, living a sinless life, paying the price for our sin, now seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession, I got this little note. I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to have a new body. A body that won't know sorrow, that won't know pain. So I realized that something on my Jesus Christmas list, it's going to happen. I guess the question, even when we pray, and this is something we need to understand, I believe this with all my heart, every time God answers a prayer, we need to look for how it glorifies Him. Look for it. And even if it's not answered according to our will, we need to realize that when a person is in the presence of God, they're healed. We were sitting last night and we were watching a movie, and I wouldn't say this if I didn't believe it's correct. But the movie was Miracles from Heaven. And there was a little girl there that in the film got healed. It's a true story based on the true story. They interviewed the actual family, showed their home, showed the tree. But the little girl had a disease to where her stomach basically wasn't working. It touched home for us because when Matthew was 2 years old, we had an incident with him that we had to take him down. I think we were at Emory or Eggleston, and we stayed with him for a week, and he basically had the same thing. But for him, it was temporary. But for this little girl, it was permanent. Stomach wasn't working, and she was going to die. She got up into a tree, and she fell. And, you know what it's like as a mother, as a father, as a brother. You get to the point, all sometimes you can do is just come and fall and cry out to God. This little child had fell down inside this tree, and the mama just went over and fell on the tree and started praying. Well, here come the church. Here come daddy. You know, and God did miraculously heal. God got the glory. But there was another little girl in that story that had cancer. She didn't get healed. But through those two little girls being side by side in the hospital on a bed, and one of them sharing Jesus Christ with the other, it affected that family. And that other little girl accepted Christ. And that man who was from another part of the country came all the way down to Texas to tell them what it meant when Christ came into their home and how much, what was that peace it brought into their lives. Because the truth is, for mine and your life, doesn't the scripture say that it's even a vapor that appears for a little while and then it's gone? It won't be long until this is going to happen. It's the next thing, to see my loved ones again. You see, what's promised to us through Christ, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the Bible teaches us that there's going to be a reunion. And I just can't wait to see that or to get there. You know, the little girl in the story, she told, and of course people, if you're a skeptic and you don't believe, you're not going to receive what I'm about to say. But she said that while she was there, she saw herself out of her body, and she was able to go to a place that was so beautiful, and she was talking to God, and she said, I don't want to go back. We said, well, I don't believe that. Well, I do. I also believe this. Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven. Saw things too wonderful even to utter. That if he uttered them, we couldn't even understand it. And he came back. What did he do? He preached with more zeal. And according to history, not the word, but history, they say that when they took him out of the Mamertine prison, he ran to the chop block. Why? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I know sometimes the saddest times for people are Christmas. Because there's a name off the Christmas list. Because there's a place at the table nobody's sitting at. But I want to tell you what I'm so thankful for on my Jesus Christmas list is I know that one day there's going to be a table spread. And when I get there, all those that have gone on before us, Brother Billy, that knew the Lord, they're going to be there. All those that we've worked with, you know, sometimes, folks, I just can't, I love my family, but I have a lot of friends that I love among God's people. And sometimes you get as close or closer to them in reality than you do your own family. I want to tell you, there's some preachers that I grew up around, I'm going to see them there. You know, I can almost see the smiles on their faces. And these things, you know, that are on my Jesus Christmas list, some of them are absolutely going to come to pass. Some of them, the truth is, they could, but it's up to you. See, God can save everybody, but you got to want Him to. He's got hope for everybody, but you got to believe in Him. There's peace and there's mercy, and there is a promise of a reunion. I want to ask you this morning just a thought, and we're going to have a song. What do you want from Jesus this Christmas? You ever thought about that? What do you want from Jesus this Christmas? If you would please rise to your feet as they sing. Whatever it is you want from the Lord, I believe He hears you. And I believe this too. I believe He wants to bless you. Would you like to talk to Him this morning? If you would, the altars are open right now. Thank you.
stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Divine.
hope.